This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good evening, I'm David Gale.
And I'm Paul McClure.
On tonight's edition of The Informer, we speak with Heath Richardson from the Family Drug Helpline and Ray Alfonso, Care Recovery Coordinator at VAC. Then we chat with Darren Visor and Samuel Duncan from Stigma, a performance as part of the Midsummer Festival. Family Drug Help is a service designed specifically to address the support and information needs of parents and other family members and significant others of someone with problematic alcohol or other drug use. People with personal experience of the effects of alcohol and other drug use within their family or friendship group are involved at all levels of the service. SHARC, which is Self-Help Addiction Resource Centre, and the VAC are pleased to offer Breakthrough, its ICE education for the LGBTI community. Facilitators from SHARC and VAC will be offering these education sessions to friends, families and community members whose loved ones have been affected by ICE and who wish to become more informed and effective in offering support. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by Heath Richardson, Helpline Coordinator, Family Drug Helpline, and Ray Alfonso, Care Recovery Coordinator of the VAC. The first session of Breakthrough was back in October 2015, and in just over a year, 68 sessions have been held with over 1,600 participants. What happens at these presentations? How are these presentations different? So, Heath, what happens at these presentations?
Thanks, David. So I guess Breakthrough is an education program that's part of the state government's ICE money, and it's in conjunction with the Bouverie Centre and Turning Point, and now we're actually in partnerships with the VAC. So what it actually is, it's information, education and strategies for family members or significant others or partners or any members of the family to come and get some information and education and strategies around what might be helpful and maybe what's maybe not so helpful with somebody that's actually using the drug ICE.
So, for instance, if my partner is having serious problems with ICE, and, you know, I may not be using by any means, or I might still be using, but certainly not having serious problems, this is to support me, isn't it? It's because I'm going to start blaming myself. I'm going to be maybe helping enable. There's all sorts of things that I'm going to be feeling about myself. So this program isn't for the actual user. It's for the other people that are affected.
Yeah, correct. And I guess at Family Drug Help, we work exclusively with the family members or partners or anyone in the family. And so this particular breakthrough with VAC is designed for our community, because I guess we realise that there's a need for this to be put out to our community. It is a big problem. But yes, we do. It's not for the person that's using drugs. There's lots of different organisations and services for the user, but this is more about knowledge and self-care and things for the individual that's not using. So, yeah, maybe teaching them or helping them work out, you know, what is helpful and maybe what's harmful.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, I'd be blaming myself and doing all this. You know, how on earth could this happen to me? Ray, how are these presentations going to be different? So, because this is in conjunction with the VAC. So what's going to be different? Is it the language or what? What's going to be different?
Yeah, absolutely. I think language is definitely an element. Initially, when we decided to partner with SHARC, it was definitely focused on things like how can we use more inclusive language in our sessions, how can our printed material be made more inclusive. And after Heath and I had met a few times, we sort of naturally came to the conclusion that there's really enough specific material here, and if we're going to do the LGBTR community any justice around this issue, we actually need to be offering community sessions that are designed by and for members of our community. So, I mean, you mentioned language. You know, we might start thinking at the different ways that the LGBTI community envisions family.
And possibly engages with their use of drugs, such as things like chemsex and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that. Now,
yep.
If I rang up your helpline, Heath, I'm probably not going to... maybe I could talk about those things over the phone, but obviously not in one of these sessions. So these sessions will be quite tailored then.
Absolutely. And I guess the beauty of Family Drug Help working with the VAC is, especially when people come to our sessions, is that Ray and I will be facilitating the actual session of breakthrough. So you're going to get people who are in the community who are actually there at the forefront with our wisdom and knowledge and everything that we have to offer to our community.
And we want to looking at the particular context in which members of the community use ice. You mentioned the party and play scene, things like chemsex, also the different relationships that people might have to their drug use and how that might be informed by such things as experiences of their gender identity or homophobia or transphobia, or, you know, there's so many layers and levels there. So I think that having these sessions that are designed specifically for our community will allow us more room to really explore those issues, so that we can offer more therapeutic help and resource our community to support each other in more meaningful and successful ways.
Yeah, well, there's obviously a big need for this sort of program. How has the VAC identified that need? Is it through, I don't know, cries out for help? Is it through statistics? Is it through use of the VAC's website? And there's a lot of different programs within their whole website. I think I was talking to you before the program about, what was the part where, which is about drug use?
Oh, touch base.
Touch base, exactly. Yeah, so yeah. Do you compile, can you work out that this is really resonating with the community, or... how have you figured out that there's a big need for this sort of program?
Well, through Altered States, which is our project arm, and also our Alcohol and Drug Service Provision Program, VAC is, you know, offering service to the community around all alcohol and drug use. We already offer, for example, the Rewired groups for gay men who are struggling with methamphetamine use. There's also Drink Limits, which is for lesbian and queer and bisexual women who are struggling with alcohol use. We do try to draw on current research and respond to identified needs from members of the community who are accessing our service. But also, I guess it's about taking a really engaged harm minimisation approach to the issues that are affecting our community, also capitalising on what's already out there. So rather than reinventing the wheel, we decided to partner with Shark in the hopes of offering more comprehensive support to members of our community around meth. I don't know. I would hesitate to say that it's because meth is a particular problem in the sense that I don't think it's more particular a problem than alcohol or cannabis. I just think that engaging the community and resourcing the community and taking a social approach to drug and alcohol problems is a really effective way of addressing problematic substance use in our community.
And that substance use has changed over time. So, you know, in 10 years' time, we might be looking at a program that addresses some other issue that we still can't even forecast, I suppose. with the telephone service that you coordinate, Heath, a lot of people use that telephone service. What sort of people end up coming to the sessions?
Well,
these are just the general public sessions, but that you do.
Yeah, and I guess the thing is with... when working with Family Drug Help, and that's the thing that we're identifying, that sometimes we need to get a little bit better about what we're doing in our service, and we're open to suggestions, which is why working with VAC has been really beneficial for us, because there's areas that we can improve with what we do. I guess we take phone calls from all around Australia. We're Victorian government based. We're funded by the government here, but we'll take calls nationally. So we'll have any members of the family. You know, it could be the grandparents, it could be a partner, it could be the son, it could be the mother. So yeah, we take calls from everywhere. So I guess that's sometimes it's the way that we kind of initiate sometimes contact. That's how people will make initial contact with us. And then we will, you know, obviously with different programs that we have within our service, we'll refer them on to other programs that we have at Shark or Family Drug Help.
Okay. On the Informer at the moment, we're joined by Heath Richardson, Helpline Coordinator from the Family Drug Helpline, and Ray Alfonso, Care Recovery Coordinator from the VAC. We're talking about the sessions, which are called Breakthrough, and they're coming up soon. When are these sessions going to be held, Ray?
So the first one's coming up on the 1st of February. That's a Wednesday evening. So it'll be between 6pm and 9pm at the PLC. That's the Positive Living Centre.
Well, that's next week, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, next Wednesday. Gosh, so soon.
It is quite soon.
That's 51 Commercial Road in Paran. And then we have another follow-up one on this side of town, or the north side. So it's on the 22nd of February. That's another Wednesday night, 6 till 9 at Hares and Hyenas.
Okay, and you're both going to be at those sessions?
Yeah, we'll both be co-facilitating together.
Yeah.
Look, it's such an important thing because, you know, it's a little bit like forgetting about the people that are affected. And there is, you know, it's like that ripple effect that goes out very wide into our community. So
I think this has deep roots as well in really wanting to create sustainable strategies for helping people who are struggling with problematic substance use. Because I don't think that it's feasible or sustainable for people to be doing this in isolation. So by resourcing and supporting and encouraging and informing the people who are in their support networks, we're going to create smoother recovery pathways, and hopefully people can begin their recovery journey and come out of that with their relationships intact.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds like an amazing outcome if that can happen.
Yeah.
So, all right, we've been talking with Heath Richardson, Helpline Coordinator from the Family Drug Helpline, and Ray Alfonso, Care Recovery Coordinator at the VAC, about Breakthrough ICE Education for Families to be held at the Positive Living Centre on Wednesday the 1st, which is next Wednesday of February, and Hares and Hyenas on Wednesday the 22nd of February. Now, for details and a link, check out our podcast soon after tonight's Informer. Back in November, we talked about Stigma, a theatre and movement performance examining prejudices, discrimination and HIV stigma, an upcoming work for the 2017 Midsummer Program. The project was the brainchild of Darren Visor, and he called out for support through crowdfunding to get this project up and running. We're now just days away from the first performance. Tonight on The Informer, we are joined once more by Darren Visor. Welcome, Darren.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I caught you by my phone yesterday during rehearsals. How are they looking?
Going great. Wonderful. The work's in a good position. Sam's here with me tonight, who's to talk to you all about it.
Well, can you remind us what this performance is all about?
So basically, in a nutshell, the work's about, we have engaged the HIV positive community, and we are storytelling the stigma experienced by people living with HIV. Coming from my own personal experiences, because I'm living with HIV, and what that is like. And we've also included the community, women's voices. We've engaged a large section of the women's voices who are living with HIV to storytell their stories, and plus the current community who is out there. They've come into the space to tell and share their stories through theatre with these wonderful actors.
Yeah, these wonderful actors, as you say. Look, Samuel, can you tell us how it's been to work? What it's been like working with Darren?
Yeah, look, it's been really wonderful to have this opportunity to work with such, I mean, maybe important's not quite the right word. I think, yeah, important material. It's a lot of really raw stuff that comes from really generous people who come and have shared their experience of living with HIV. And it's quite rare as an actor to get that opportunity to really be a part of writing, helping shape a work that talks about those issues.
Have you been involved in the project since its development back in November, December, and no Christmas breaks here?
Yeah, that's right. I've been working with Darren since, was it June?
June last year.
Yeah,
Gay Plus Sex was June.
Yeah, with one other actor, and we've worked together a bit in the past, so it's really nice to be working with him. He's really lovely, sensitive, generous actor as well. So it's great to see the project develop over that time.
Yeah, look, we were excited at the time, weren't we, Paul, about the whole crowdfunding and the way that it was being put together.
That it got off the ground, yeah, absolutely.
The fact that it did come off the ground, what do you actually do in this performance?
Well, Darren's got quite a movement background. I mean, he's a choreographer. Yeah. He's got a lot of experience. And, I mean, I'm not actually a trained dancer. I'm an actor, really, but I've got a bit of movement background. But, you know, really, I think Darren is so good at taking, I don't know, material like this and creating movement to help tell a story about it. So I think he makes us look good.
Did you ever think that it would be get as far as it has?
Well, no, I'm a bit surprised that this is actually a development. So we are this is a development of the work. It's a very public showing. So this has generated a lot of interest because we are engaging the community and telling authentic stories. And so it's gotten a lot of traction and we've almost sold out. And we have a full season booked. The actual full season is booked in for 2018 or next year.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2018.
So, yeah, I'm quite surprised. I'm really delighted that this story has hooked in because it is such an important topic and content because I know what it feels like to be stigmatized because of something that I live with.
And I suppose it's the type of story that really could go on forever. I mean, you can keep building on it, getting people's experiences about it. And just grow it and grow it.
Yeah, like Sam was saying, we started with this idea with two guys talking about HIV positive sex between two men. It started from there. And then we're like, let's open it up and share women's stories because clearly now there's more women living globally with HIV.
Mm. Yeah, which is something that you talked about last year. Yeah. How does that become incorporated in the show?
Oh, look, you know, as Sam can tell you from his experience working and developing the storyline, there's playing heterosexual couples who are living with HIV in one scene. They're playing a heterosexual male and a woman living with HIV in another scene. So it really opens up the box that this stigma is not branded. HIV stigma is not just about the gay men. Yeah. Like, it's more than that. Of course, that's where it's, you know, that's the 80s and all of that stuff.
The focus was on that.
Gay men and sex workers, that was it.
We have to open our mind up and go, hang on, this is, the bigger picture is that HIV, I think, do you say it or Rory says it, that HIV does not discriminate and not a stigma.
Yeah, well, you've lived with that stigma. You talked about the concept of actually living with the stigma with yourself, other than just being stigmatized by other people. So how do you express that in this performance?
Well, it's quite confronting because each time I see these guys get up on stage and I have helped with Sam, Devise and Rory and Tash, the work with the community who have come in to share their lived experiences. So we just get it. We get on the floor. We try stuff out. We might take a interview from a community member or a face to face chat in the studio in the rehearsal space and devise something and start to make it up and work out what actually works. Some of the written material is verbatim exactly from me and and the artist engaging with a community member and then starting from there. Does this script, does this text work? Does this movement work? Sam, how can you interpret HIV, living with it, internalized in your body? And I ask them to give them tasks to flesh out movement and text based on simple tasks, creative tasks in the studio.
So even as an actor, Sam, you've been part of the whole process.
Exactly, I have. I mean, I think that's a great thing to be able to talk to people who have lived experience of being stigmatized, and it's something that I feel like I'm learning more and more about is the challenges that a lot of people with who are HIV positive have, in that, you know, often if they are a gay man, you know, because that's sometimes I'm playing a gay man, you know, you maybe already have had the challenge of coming out, which is obviously sometimes a really big one, and then it's almost like a second coming out as an HIV positive person, and that's just a whole nother challenge.
Is it different to what you're used to as an actor, having this sort of scenario that Darren's described of engaging with the community members and getting that personal feedback and then sort of bouncing off that, as opposed to getting a script that's already written? And not having that personal interaction, has that helped you at all?
Yeah, well, it is definitely different. Mm. There's a lot of feedback, and we have many versions of scripts, I think, because we want to tell the most kind of honest version of the stories that we come in contact with. So, there's a lot of feedback. Mm. It's sort of like performance feedback, revision on repeat.
But does that give? Do you think that gives more depth to your performance? I mean, an ability to tap into, because you've had direct contact with these people who are telling you their stories, and Darren, this is open to you as well, to sort of reflect on that and use that as a basis rather than, I suppose, having to come to your own conclusions.
Absolutely.
As an actor.
Because what working with key people have come in to help storytell their stories helps the actor place it with their senses, what it feels like, what the whole experience feels like to be stigmatized and live with a bloodborne virus and to receive stigma. It was really important that the actors, for example, all went out and had HIV tests. So I forced them, well, I made them. It was a task. Go out and have a HIV test, get a screen, and to remind yourself of what it's like to have a needle in your arm every 3 months and take your blood because you need to measure your, or 6 months depending on your where you are, to measure your viral load, and to remind yourself that's what people who are living with HIV have to experience. This is one part of the experience.
Yeah. Look, I remember back in the 80s there was actually the stigma of actually going to have your first test because it could preclude you from having a normal and successful life. Not the fact of finding that you're positive, but if you were positive it would preclude you from so much of life because you'd be stigmatized as you can't work for this person and you can't do that and whatever. Look, obviously, there's a lot of plays within Midsummer that you might go and see. Boy meets boy, boy falls in love with boy, boy loses boy, boy gets boy back, that sort of stuff. Now, this isn't that sort of performance, no, so it's actually more to do with presenting something for people to take home and think about or at least be confronted with during the performance.
Yeah, so this is about shifting the audience's perspective about people living with HIV and the stigma they face. Their work engages women, it engages men, it engages heterosexual people. There's full frontal nudity in this play, in this work, so it's not a kid's show. There's sex scenes in the show, and there's also coarse language. So it's our show. So if you're up for something that's really quite confronting and that will challenge your perception, then please come along. We've only had a few tickets left on closing night now, but that's the work that I try to make with such wonderful, highly intelligent, intuitive actors.
And hopefully people go away thinking something new and feeling something new
and
about it.
And talk about it with their friends. I think that's important.
The questions are opened up.
Yeah, and opening up that, as you say, breaking down the stereotypical perspective.
It's the whole
HIV.
Reason behind the show.
Exactly.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, we're talking about one of the most heavily booked Midsummer events. Are there any tickets left?
There are a few tickets left on closing night on the 30th. You can book them through the Midsummer website. Just punch in stigma and you will find the last few tickets.
Well, there will be a link with our podcast soon after tonight's Informer. Look, it's been great having you come back, especially after seeing how everything's developed from that time that we talked to you last night, last November. On the Informer. So thanks for joining us both.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.